I want you to interact with me. I want you to, if you have a question or maybe you've heard a question, when we dive into this, I want you to feel free to speak. We're not going to criticize. We're not here to do that. We're here to edify each other together. So with that said, Brother Drone, come pray for us, and then we'll kind of get started.
Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you would just continue to move in this service. Lord, use Pastor tonight to teach us, God. Lord, help us come in here with an open mind and an open spirit, God, to be able to take this word into our everyday life, God. We thank you, God, for what we already feel in this place, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you on this topic tonight. Put it up there, Bradley. Okay. Where's Chantel? I didn't want the word spirit. I wanted the word ghost. Holy Ghost. That's all right. I'm going to give you a pass this time. Is she back there? Where's she at? She's doing attendance. The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, actually, Holy Ghost is spoken more times in the New Testament than Holy Spirit is. But they are the same thing. They mean the same thing. There is no differences in the two. So what I want to do is begin by reading a text to you in the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, if we are speaking to you in familiar territory, then you ought to tune in so you can help somebody else when you are trying to give them understanding. And let me say this. I know that, you know, in many respects, we have different backgrounds and we've come from different teachings. The first thing that's important to understand is it is not acceptable biblically or in God's eyes for us all to believe something different. That is not the word of God. The Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God who's above all, through you, and in you all, that is Christ Jesus. Now, I also recognize that the scripture tells us until we all come in the unity of the faith. So we know that there will be varying beliefs in things until Jesus returns. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or 13. But there are some things that must be clarified, and they must be taught, and they must be understood. It's not an option. So the first thing when you think about the Holy Ghost, you might think, well, the Holy Ghost is wonderful, it's nice, but it's not for everybody. That is absolutely untrue. The Holy Ghost is for every single believer that it walks the face of the earth. I will show you. I will prove it to you. And then we're going to dig in to take it a little deeper. So first of all, Jesus answered, go to verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, being Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The concept of being born again is what should be being taught in the churches. It's wonderful to teach about accepting the Lord Jesus, but we must teach people about being born again. Jesus said, you must, not it's an option, you must be born again. Now go ahead. Nicodemus said unto him, come on, Bradley. Unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus could not process with his carnal understanding what Jesus was speaking about. Now, it's important for you to understand that the book of John is the last book in the Bible that was written. The Bible is not chronological. Some passages might be. John was the last book. That's why it's the fourth of the Gospels. That's why the book of John is notably different from the other four Gospels. And so it is believed that John felt like there was a need to clarify some things. This book was written after Peter and Paul were both killed. And so it's believed that John felt it necessary now, as the original disciples were being martyred, that he clarify some things for future generations, because Christianity had already fallen into a place of oppression. When you are oppressed, you will be confused. When the world falls into a place of oppression, Satan utilizes that opportunity to sow seeds of confusion. Now, the very fact that some of us may differ in some of our philosophy or theological believes tonight means that the devil has sown confusion somewhere, or we would be of the same. Did something just happen to me? There we go. So Jesus goes on to clarify for Nicodemus, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, let me just say, if this scripture rubs your theology the wrong way, you're taking it up with the wrong person. I'm in the book. It's in your Bible. If you open it up, you're going to find it. What keeps happening to my monitor? Y'all keep messing with me back there. Keeps going up and down. So Jesus said, except the man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus said, don't know what you're talking about. Can you clarify? And Jesus said, except the man is born of the water and the Spirit. So he's saying what it means to be born again is to be born of water and Spirit. He said, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Go to the next verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Pause. I need you to understand something. There are things that you will do in your walk with God that is all you. It's your flesh. The Holy Ghost didn't make you come and repent. That's flesh. That is your desire to repent. The Holy Ghost didn't make you be baptized. The Holy Ghost will not throw you into the baptismal tank. That is your choice. And what you get is, what you get from fleshly decisions is a fleshly result, if you please, or fleshly seed. Meaning when I repent, there's no spiritual seed that is planted at repentance. What's happened is I am released from some things. Go to the next verse. And he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He said, don't be amazed. Don't stand here in wonder or awe, because I said you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. Go ahead. Watch this next verse. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Can anybody here meticulously explain that real quick? Great. That means you have no arguments with me. So watch this now. So he says, well, first of all, let me back up. Born again, that word in the Greek is geneo. It means to procreate or regenerate. So Jesus said, unless you procreate and or regenerate, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's born. The word again means first or anew. So unless you become new through regeneration, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, verse 8, it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound. So he's saying, you can hear the sound of wind, but you cannot tell where it's coming. And he draws the parallel, and he says, so it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. So he goes on to further clarify that being born again is to be born of the Spirit. Now we're going to dig deep into this thing tonight. And so if you have a burning question that's more than the general question, at any point you can throw your hand up, but just give me a few moments and we will get to those. So the word sound comes from the Greek word phoné, and that simply means a language. So he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou can hear the sound or the language thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh. And whether it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So he's saying, when someone is born of the Spirit, he said, you can hear the sound or the language of the Spirit, but you can't tell where it's coming from. Now, if you take that just a little step further and you go to the book of Isaiah, let me make sure I've got the scripture written down here. It's Isaiah 28 and 11. It says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he, God, speak to this people. So Isaiah, the prophet, said that God will speak to the people through stammering lips and another tongue. Now, when I hope you have done the same, When I began to pray about this many years ago, and I told God that I, if you've never heard this, that I would not preach this message any longer until God showed me that it was the truth, so I did not deceive people. Now, the Lord knows I prayed that prayer, and I told God I won't preach it until you show it to me. One of the first scriptures after about 5-6 years of that prayer was this verse. God brought it to my mind one day out of nowhere, and he began to help me understand it. Now I'm going to show you something that's really neat tonight. So Isaiah said that God will speak to the people with stammering lips or another tongue. Since we are big on representation in America and even within the church, meaning, you know, WWJD became a big catchphrase years ago. Unfortunately, most people weren't doing what Jesus would have done. But that aside, it became a catchphrase. It made a statement. You know, I'm a Christian, or at least my profession, because of what I might be wearing, or if someone's wearing a cross. What are they doing? They're speaking to you. They're making a statement with what they are wearing. Now I want you to listen to me for a second. I want you to hear me for 1 second. If you differ with me, just do me a favor. I want you to take your roadblocks out for a couple minutes tonight and just hear me and just receive what I've got to say and then take it to the Lord. That's all you got to do. But if you won't take it to the Lord, then you have no argument. You really don't. I'm not trying to win a fight here. I'm trying to help educate people on my years of prayer to make sure I was preaching the truth. So now watch this. Put up for me the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 33. Now, you have to move quick with us, Bradley, tonight, because they're going to get mad at me if I go too long. Acts 2 and 33. Watch this. Peter speaking, he said, "Therefore, by the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost." Pause for a second. All you got to do is go back to chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus said, "Go and wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost, which saith he, you've heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now here's just a little nugget for you in case this has ever been a point of confusion for you. When Jesus spoke to the disciples and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," they didn't receive the Holy Ghost at that time. That was prophecy. How can I tell? Because all of those people were in that upper room right there. And that's when they were first filled with the Holy Ghost. He was prophesying to them when he spoke this. So now Peter is preaching after the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And he said, "Now that you have received the promise of the Father," Acts 1 and 4, "God truly, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And then he said, well, we'll go back to that later. "The promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this," read it with me, "which you now see and hear." Peter said, you can see and hear the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm in the book. I didn't write this before service. Now, what did Isaiah prophesy? With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Stammering lips is something that is more visual. Another tongue is something that is more audible. If you see my lips quivering, if you've ever saw that in somebody, it's a visual confirmation. If you hear me speaking in another language, it's an audible confirmation. Now, I'm going to just throw you a fastball real fast. Just hang on to it. You can catch it, and I'll sign it later, and you can keep it for memorabilia. I know the big question, the big debate is, does a person speak with tongues when they are filled with the Holy Ghost? I'm going to answer that for you today, but I'm going to take you back to what Peter just said. He said, he has shed forth this, the promise, and you have received the promise of the Holy Ghost, which you now see and hear. Peter said, you see it and you hear it. 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 Now, don't you remember that? Does anybody got a burning question real quick before I go on? Don't be bashful. It can be your own question. It can be a question somebody else has asked before. All right, I want you to help me now. Listen, if you won't ask, I can't help you, and you can't take stubbornness to your grave. It ain't going to work for you. Yes, thank you. Go ahead, run that out there so they can have that recording if you don't mind.
Okay, you're saying that if you don't speak in tongues, then you have not received the Holy Spirit.
That's correct. Yes. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is, and this is what I do to everybody. Now, just watch this. I told you you're going to have to hang on with me now. Everybody has a thought of what happens when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Like, what were you taught, if I may ask? How do you know when you're filled with the Holy Ghost? Were you ever taught anything specific?
No, but when that one bishop, I guess he was, came, and they all prayed over me, and I just felt the Holy Ghost, you know. But then I did not speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's a gift that everybody gets, or...
Okay, we're going to answer that. So if you can just hold on to that just for a few moments, and we'll answer, and we'll come back to you if we need to. Because that's another misconception. Now, I'm going to give you a lot. You're going to want to go back and really pray this if you care to study it out. So let's flow with it first. Pat asked, are you saying that if someone has not spoken in tongues, they have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost? In my opinion, the answer is that is correct. That's what I'm saying. Now, listen, you can leave here and you can say, I don't care. I know I've got it. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. The Bible says work out your own salvation with carelessness and with stubbornness. No, it says with fear and trembling. So I'm just saying, listen, honestly, I ain't going to fight you. I've been doing this long enough. I don't want to fight people. All I want to do is I want to show you the things that God has educated me on over the years, and I want to meticulously lay it out so there's no questions. Now, so let's go back to, I don't think there's a question here that Peter says you can see and hear when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You can see it. Now, go down to verse 39 so we can answer Pat's question. For the promise, what did Jesus say in verse 4 of chapter 1? Go and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, there is another scripture that specifically identifies the Holy Ghost as the promise, if that's not enough for you yet. So he said, wait for the promise. They go to the upper room. They're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven, which means divided, tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, I know what everybody says. Trust me, I have dug my feet into this to make sure I could answer everything. You ask me a question, I'm going to answer. I'm just going to tell you. Now, you take it to any other preacher, I guarantee they won't answer every question. Guarantee it. Try me and just see. And here's why, because I have put a lot of attention in prayer into this to make sure that I can properly educate people. Now, what did I just say before? What did I say I can prove? I don't remember. What was it? But what was it before that? What did I read a scripture or something? No, that wasn't what it was. Okay, well, let's start there. I don't know if that was it either, but we're going to start there. So the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we should be able to properly ascertain that the promise, is there anybody, I'm not trying to put you in a spot, that does not believe the promise is the Holy Ghost. Anybody doesn't believe that? Okay, so the Holy Ghost, the promise, go back to Acts 1 and 4, is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, I've had people come into this church, and they've told me that the Holy Ghost isn't for everybody. It's unbiblical. That's what people have been taught. There's also another misconception, Sister Pat, that the Holy Ghost is just a gift. It is a gift, but it's a gift for every person. For every person. We have identified the Holy Ghost as the promise. We have identified that the promise is for everybody. So that gift, which is the gift of the Holy Ghost, is for everybody. Now watch this. Here's another misconception. I can't do all this in one night. Here's another misconception. The gift of the Holy Ghost is not a gift of the Spirit. It is not a gift of the Spirit. Watch this. Now watch. I'm going to give you all scripture. Gift of the Holy Ghost, plural. Singular. Gifts of the Spirit, plural. They are different. That's the whole reason we have 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The whole chapter is to explain the difference between a person speaking in tongues for personal edification and a personal prophesying in tongues for the edification of the church. But the gifts of the Spirit and the gift of the Holy Ghost are not the same. You cannot, I'll give you a litmus test right now. You cannot have gifts of the Spirit if you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. You find a church that does not preach about the Holy Ghost, and you'll find a church has zero gifts of the Spirit in operation. Just prove me. Just take it and prove it. You can't. Now, you might have a person that may operate in those gifts because they have the Holy Ghost. They have the Holy Ghost. Now, just work. Hang with me if you would. So let's go and let's try and answer these questions that Pat brought to our attention. So, tongues, is it the evidence of the Holy Ghost? So, go back to chapter 2. You're in that same chapter. Go back to verse 3 for me real quick. And so you're going to want to write these verses down. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, and roll with me, Brad, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, the Spirit gave the utterance. Pause. Back up. So we know they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We know they were all speaking in tongues. Is there anybody that doesn't understand that? Now, I know that people say that they were only speaking in tongues to more rapidly evangelize the gospel. There is zero scripture to back that up. Zero. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to show you the scripture that people use. Now, just work with me. I'm trying to really, really encourage you and give you some meat tonight. If you jump forward with me, go to verse... No, hang on a second. Let me just open my Bible real quick so I get the right verse. Now, I'm going to have... I told you this will take me an eternity, and we can go back to it if anybody really is brave enough. Okay, if you go back to verse 7... Now watch this. And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now, there are those that have attempted to take this verse and tell us that, see, they were preaching to them. I can prove that away faster than you can snap your fingers. Now just hang tight. Number one, where were they when the Holy Ghost was poured out? Upper room. Who else was in the upper room? Nobody. All 120 that were in the upper room were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. They came out of the upper room and it spilled out into the streets. And we'll find that down in verse 11, I think it is, or 12. And so nobody in the upper room was being ministered to. They were all being filled at the same time. See, sometimes we don't pause and slow down long enough to really grasp these things. Now, we're going to roll with this for a second. And they said, how can we hear every man speak in our own language when we were born? First of all, it's a proven fact that I hear some people talking during church, but they're not talking to me. They're talking to somebody else. Just because someone's talking doesn't mean they're speaking to you. He didn't say, why are they talking to us in tongues? He said, how come we can hear them speak our language? Now watch. God had divinely opened up their ears and their understanding to confirm to them that this was God in action. Watch. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phygira, Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So now watch. Do you remember when I told you that they were not being preached to through tongues? Watch this. Peter standing up with the 11, our dairy insert, in his own native tongue, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. Now watch. So Peter stands up, and he begins to preach them in his native tongue. Are you with me? He wasn't preaching to them in tongues, in his own voice. So that dispels the whole rumor that they were trying to quickly evangelize. There's no Bible to back that up. There's none. It feels good when you can't explain it. Well, that's a feel-good thing. It's what it is. No, I'm being honest, too. Now watch. Let's read on. He said, for these, verse 15, are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Now, pause. What do you mean, drunk as you suppose? How are they acting? Well, I can assure you they weren't doing this. We exalt thee. No, they were acting like drunk people. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will intoxicate you. Now, what happens when you drink alcohol? Now, Sister Pat, let me just pause for a second. I've tried to explain this for years. I need a volunteer. Pause. Who's thirsty? Okay, come on. You're still up. Come down there so they can see you. Make sure you're in the camera. I told you. So you are thirsty? Okay, question. I got a question for you. Are you still thirsty? I didn't quench your thirst at all. Did you feel that water? But you're still thirsty. So you can feel it and still be thirsty. You can feel it. That's what most people don't understand. They mistake the feeling of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I can tell you this. When you came to an altar of repentance, you felt the Holy Ghost. You just didn't have the tingles and the chingles. But that's what drew you. That's what pulled you. God began to pull at you. But when you're thirsty, you have to drink it. What's the scripture say? We'll get to John. The scripture says, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, because the Holy Ghost had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John chapter 7, verse 36, 37, 38. The reason everybody wants to go to the thief on the cross is because they don't understand it. The Holy Ghost was not poured out until Jesus was ascended and glorified in his flesh, received his glorified flesh. So, Peter goes on to say, now watch this. We're going to tie in more prophecy. He said in verse 16, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, because you can't prophesy unless you have the Spirit. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, do you understand what that means? Handmaids, men servants, however it's worded, that means everybody. That means there are no more barriers. There's no more separation. There's no more big I and little you. There's no more Jew, no more Gentile, no more Greek. All that's done away with now. So Peter preaches that grand old message, and that's why he says in verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost is the promise, he hath shed forth, means he poured out this which you now see and hear. All right, is that clear so far? Any confusion? I'm being honest. I'm not being a smart aleck. I want to clear it up. Now, I want you to watch this for a second now. Now, you got to remember where we started. Now, the Holy Ghost strongly prompted me to teach on this tonight. So I know that somebody will be edified by it. Now listen, we begin in John 3, 3, 4, 5. Except a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. I don't understand what you mean. Can you explain, Lord? Except a man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Now listen. If that rubs you the wrong way, I'm being honest. I didn't write it. It is in every single Bible that's written. Except a man, I had a man years ago I asked that question to. He was talking to me about this topic, and I said, what does it mean? He said, well, being born of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody, does everybody agree with that? Is anybody disagrees that being born of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit? I'm being honest. It's okay if you do. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Okay. So, it obviously means something. Okay. What about born of the water? There's only one water birth we can be talking about. It's water baptism. It's the only one. And we'll clarify that. But now watch this. So Jesus taught this. Now watch what happens in Acts. Go to verse 37. This is what we don't do enough in church anymore. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. This is the crowd. And they said unto the Peter and the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? They didn't debate. They didn't argue. They said, what should we do? Go ahead. Peter said, repent. Be baptized. This is the first sermon for the New Testament church right here. This is it. I'm not making it up. Read your Bible. Study it out. It's there. Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Go to the next verse. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, if I can get you to agree with me tonight that the Holy Ghost is the promise and the promise is for every person, then the only obstacle you have is how do I know when I have been filled with the Holy Ghost? And that's what we're going to finish, hopefully, with tonight. So, we know in the upper room. So, Jesus told Nicodemus, born of the water and the Spirit. Now, when Peter preaches the first sermon following Pentecost, he said, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you will be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, water and Spirit. Peter is teaching exactly what Jesus taught Nicodemus. Take it further. Go to chapter 8. Go to verse, I don't know, try verse 11. Repetition is the essence of learning for those of you who might already be familiar with all this. It's okay. Go to verse 14. No, go to verse 12. Step it forward for me. No. I didn't say 1 Corinthians. Acts chapter 8, verse 11. There you go. Go forward. Okay. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now watch this. We're now talking about the Samaritans. Now, so what you have is Simon is preaching. Hey, go back. What are you doing, man? Simon is preaching, and the Bible says, and they believed. Now watch this. They believed, and they were baptized. Nobody will be baptized unless they believe and understand baptism. So now watch. Go forward. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Why they sent Peter and John? Go ahead. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Wait a second. I thought the moment you became a believer, you were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Samaritans had believed everything that Simon preached. And they were baptized because they believed. And then Peter and John heard, we got some believers down there. Now, you want to see this? You want to know what nobody ever really talks about in the book of Acts? Every single group of people the apostles were preaching to were all Christians. They weren't sinners. You know why? Because after Jesus ascended, after the Holy Ghost was poured out, they now take that message, water and spirit baptism of John 3:5, and they take it to all the churches throughout the land. And they're bringing this message to the believers. So, Simon preaches, they believed, they're baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, I just want to throw this at you, not the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They're baptized in the name of Jesus because there's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Peter and John heard this, so they came down and they came down to pray for them that they would receive the Holy Ghost, that these believers would receive the Holy Ghost. How do they know they hadn't received the Holy Ghost? You ever wonder that? How do they know? They're believers, they're baptized. How do they know they hadn't received the Holy Ghost? I'm gonna tell you. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they knew the Holy Ghost hadn't fallen. Go ahead to the next verse. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, Sister Pat, this is the only verse in Acts that does not speak about tongues. But what it does do, it gave us a game that we still play today. It's called Simon Says. Go to the next verse. And when Simon saw, this Holy Ghost which you now see and hear, for stammering lips in another tongue will he speak to this people. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given the offer of money. So Simon saw a physical manifestation that proved to him they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says, here, I want to buy this power. So when I lay my hands on somebody, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? Or is there any confusion there? I can't see because I'm not looking. So we know that Simon saw a physical manifestation. We know Peter said in Acts 2:33, he shed forth his Holy Ghost, which you now see and hear. Now we know that these Samaritans who were already baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus still had not received the Holy Ghost. Peter and John come down to them. They lay their hands on them. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. Simon says, I want to do the same thing too. Now go with me to chapter 10. And I want to, let's begin in verse 1 so I can dispel any doubt about who we're preaching to here. And I'm being honest. Chapter 10 and 1. Am I boring you? There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man. Cornelius was a devout man. He was a devoted man. And one that feared God. He feared God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. So we have a God-fearing man here that the apostles now have in their eyesight. Let's stop saying, because you're a God-fearing person, there's not more that God has to give you. Now, go with me to verse 44. So the apostles come down to Cornelius in his house, and you can go back and read the rest of the chapter, and they preach to them this whole message. And now while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Now, stop. Don't change it yet. It doesn't mean hearing with the ears. Everybody can hear, but only people that have spiritual ears on can hear what the Spirit saith to the church. The reason most people struggle is because they're only listening with their carnal ears and not their spiritual ears. So Peter was preaching, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Go ahead. And they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, hold on, was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did the Jews know that the Holy Ghost was poured out on the Gentiles? Next verse. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, go ahead. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Now, remember, water, spirit, water, spirit, water, spirit. Except you're born of the water and the spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and they're all baptized. Peter preaches this message. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promises unto you and everybody else, and you got that part. And then the Samaritans were already baptized. So Peter and John go down. They say, hey, we got to pray for these folks so that God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. And he goes down. Hey, can I ask you a question? Why does this topic bug Christians? Why do so many Christians have a struggle with this? It's clearly in the Bible. I'm clearly not making it up. Now, you want to talk about making it up? I can give you a whole lot of people make up a whole lot of stuff. It ain't me. I'm being honest with you. I don't know why it bothers people. You know why it bothers people? Because nobody wants to be convinced of anything other than what they want to believe. Well, not nobody. Some people. So, he said, should any forbid water? Why? Why would he preach this? Because Jesus said, except the man is born of the water and the spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, what does he do? What is going on with this thing? Go to the next verse. And he commanded them. Ho, ho, ho. Wait a second. He commanded. You don't have to be baptized. You don't need to be baptized. It's just an outward expression of your faith. That's not even biblical. Listen to me real quick. That's not biblical. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. Just hold tight. I'll give you all the scripture to go home and chew. Actually, I'll print up the whole stack of notes for you if you want them. So he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Watch this. Who did he command? This God-fearing man who prayed always and his family. What are they doing? In every instance in this book, the book of Acts represents the foundation of the New Testament church. Romans does not. Are you dismissing Romans? Not at all. I'm just saying, I'll give to you what I give everybody in Bible study. If I meet Annette for the first time tonight, and I say, "Hey, I'd love you to come to church on Easter Sunday," and she says, "Oh, great, where are you at?" I'm going to say, "Well, we're on Route 6 in Pecker, 1 mile west of 11. If you just go down 46 all the way, you get to Route 6. When you get to Route 6, you're going to make a left, drive down about 2.5 miles, on the right-hand side across the street from the big tower. Now, Annette's coming to church for 4 years. She says, "Hey, Pastor, we got Bible study tonight." I say, "Yeah." Am I going to say to her, go down Route 40 all the way till you get to Route 6. When you get to Route 6, you're going to make a left, and you're going to go down about 2.5 miles on the right-hand side of Route 40 to the cell phone tower." No, she got all that. You know what I'm going to say? It's at the church. Do you know why Paul generalized so many things in the book of Romans? Because he was already talking to the believers. He didn't need to go through the whole spiel with them. That's why he generalized. Acts is the founding of the church after the ascension of Christ. Now, so he commanded them to be baptized. I didn't write it. It's there. I'm just being honest. Now go to chapter 19. It's my favorite one. You can find it. You can read in chapter 11. You'll find Paul's conversion. Paul's baptized. He's filled with the Holy Ghost also. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth. Isn't it funny? We're talking about Apollos here. Who was Apollos? Apollos was a man also who was a God-fearing man. He was a preacher. He was an evangelist. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching, they said, we need to help him maybe fine-tune his doctrine a little bit. And the Bible says they took him unto them and they expounded the ways of the Lord more perfectly unto him. Now you have Apollos preaching with Paul. And so Paul passing through the upper coast came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, not sinners, disciples. And he said unto them, "Hey, what do y'all think? You know, how's the ministry doing? You know, how many you running now? You know, just one." No. He said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now, what a way to start a conversation. Think about that. Here Paul is, he's traveling, he comes across these 12 disciples. He said, "Hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" That's what he did. Now, I know you might say, "Well, maybe there was some small talk there. It wasn't enough to put in Scripture. That's all we know." You know, "Hi, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." That's why I'm preaching. Because I'm not going to listen to people tell me they've not heard about it anymore. I'm going to do my part. And what's the next thing he says? "How are you baptized?" Sounds a whole lot like what Jesus told Nicodemus. "Except the man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven," kingdom of God. And so he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" "Don't know what you're talking about. How are you baptized?" They said, "John's baptism." Watch verse 4. It's my favorite. Then said Paul, "John barely baptized." Now you got to read this slow so you can really catch it. Now I'm being honest here. "John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." Don't change that page. Let me read that to you in layman's terms so you'll understand it. John only taught the people to believe on Christ. That's what he said. It's exactly what he just said to them. John baptized. Now, I'm not going to write this next statement as scripture, but I will tell you, I believe the reason John the Baptist baptized, it had no salvation bearing whatsoever, but I believe John the Baptist was baptized, and he baptized to teach people water baptism, to introduce baptism to the world. You ever wonder why Peter or Paul, I can't remember, said, I think it was Paul, said, "I've not baptized any save a few," because he didn't want people, because baptism always was in the name of the person you followed. That's why John the Baptist did not use any form of title or names in baptizing. When you read Galatians, you're going to find the Bible says that the Israelites were baptized unto Moses when they crossed the Red Sea because they followed Moses. You see, crossing the Red Sea was a form, a typology of water baptism. They passed through the water. It washed away their past, i.e. the Egyptian army. You know, the flood was also a typology of water baptism. God washed away the sins of the world with water. God always used water. Now, go ahead. Go ahead.
So what do you think it means if you can't hear yourself speak in tongues?
You don't have to hear yourself. You mean audibly hear yourself or translate?
No, like when I'm praying and after, and I just learned about this within the last year. And I was to the point in my life where I'm like, well, I don't know what it means, but if it's going to bring me closer to God, I'm going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And after that, like when I'm praying, I hear me like speak like I am, but others hear different.
Okay. That's a good question. I don't know that I can fully answer it. All I can tell you is I have witnessed people speak in tongues and they did not know that they spoke in tongues.
Yeah.
And I think a part of that is the spiritual maturation process. I think a part of that is you just kind of engrossed in the moment in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost is taking over. That's Romans chapter 8. The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, groanings or words, however you want to put it. It all means the same thing. And so the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, it intercedes for us. Now, that's also substantiated in 1 Corinthians as well. Who raised their hand? Go ahead.
I just want to confirm for myself personally, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, others could hear me, but I could not hear myself. And it was like a while after that I felt what I thought was the Holy Ghost and still couldn't hear myself until I finally started praying that I could hear myself speak in other tongues. And that's like the next time I was like, I felt this feeling over me and I could actually hear myself.
Here's the next question since you said that. Why does tongues scare people? No. Why does tongues scare Christians? Why do so many Christians spend so much time fighting it? I'm being honest with you. It's beyond their control. That's exactly why. And we don't like to be out of control. We can talk about being followers of Jesus all we want, and we are. But until we get to the point where we're out of control. That's in the Bible too. It's called the Israelites, they came out of Egypt. They couldn't stand being in the wilderness, not being in control of their lives. They couldn't stand it. It's a breaking process. So anyway, now watch this. So John said, well, listen, Paul said John's baptism really is no good because John only taught the people to believe on Christ. Now, there are churches that still teach people that today. I'm telling you, that is not the entirety of the gospel. It's not. Now watch this. So go ahead. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues. Don't move that page. And prophesied. That's two things that happened there. They spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. Now, I'll tackle two more things before we conclude for the evening, so just give me a couple minutes. Let's quickly recap. Except a man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Day of Pentecost, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. They're baptized. The Bible clearly tells us that. Peter preaches this message. He says, repent and be baptized. When they said, what shall we do? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, water and Spirit. They come to the Samaritan believers. They're already baptized because there is no real order. There's no specific order, and I believe that's why the Scripture shares this with us out of order like that. So they're already baptized, and Peter and John said, hey, we heard some folks down there that are believers, and they've been baptized. We got to go pray for them that God will fill them with the Holy Ghost. So they go down, lay hands on them. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter says, hey, I'd like to buy that because he saw that the Holy Ghost was given. And then they go to Cornelius and his family. Now they're filled with the Holy Ghost while the Jews are watching on. And they spoke with tongues and magnified God. And then Peter said, should any forbid that he should be water baptized as well? There's John 3:3. It's all connected. I'm telling you, it's all connected. Because these men knew what Jesus taught. And then you've got Paul now coming to the disciples of John. Disciples of John. Christians. Men that followed John the Baptist. They followed his teaching. He comes across and says, you received the Holy Ghost since you believed. We don't know what you're talking about. How are you baptized? John's baptism. No good, no good, no good. And he rebaptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with tongues, and magnified God. There's your recap. It all mirrors John 3:3, 3, 4, and 5. Now, remember what we said. You can tell where the wind is coming from. Or you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it's coming from. And so it is every man that is born of the Spirit. You can hear it, but you can't tell where it's coming from. So now, here's the two recaps I want to do. I want to take you really quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 again in verse 1. Because sometimes you got to hear these things several times to get it in your brain, especially when it conflicts with things you've learned. Now watch this. So you've got to understand, what was the Corinthian church? Anybody know? A messed up church. I would compare the Corinthian church to the modern day charismatic church. I will. They love God, good, honest, sincere people, but no structure, no leadership. How do you know that? Read the first book of Corinthians, first chapter. How come there's divisions amongst all of you? How come I hear of all this division, all this divisiveness? Is division supposed to be in the church? Of course it's not. So Paul spends two letters trying to help the Corinthian church fix all of their mess. In this book right here, he's trying to fix their understanding of tongues. So here's what he says. Okay, folks, listen, I want to preach to you today. The first thing I'm going to tell you is to follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather you desire that you would prophesy. Go ahead. You're not in King James. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. I.e., there does not have to be an interpreter. I'll clarify that further. So he says, listen, if somebody's speaking in tongues, I want you to understand they're not speaking to men. They're speaking to God. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Go ahead. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Pause. So he said, so when a man's prophesying, that is the gift of prophecy of tongues. That is exactly what it means. That you see, this both of this is what happened to the disciples of John. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. They spoke in tongues, and immediately the gift of the spirit of prophecy of tongues went forward, and there was a prophecy of tongues given at that time. Now, he prophesied unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Nobody else is edified when I'm up here praying in tongues. It's not for you, it's for me. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. That's when the message of tongues goes forward and the church hears it, and then there is an interpretation. That's how the church is edified by this. Okay. Read on real quick. I'm going to hit a couple more things, and then we're going to jump forward. I would that you all spoke with tongues, rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may give, they may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall jump forward with me to verse 12. I'm just trying to save you all some time here. If you have any questions, we can go back. Even so ye, for so much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to edifying the church. So, pause. They were all about the gifts of the Spirit. Not bad, but my God, you can wear those things out and you can make things something that they're not. That's what they were doing. They're trying to interpret someone speaking in tongues, but there's no interpretation. That's the whole point of this book. I'm telling you, I spent 20 years on it. So he says, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. He said, if you desire anything, desire that the church is edified. Go ahead. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Pause. That doesn't mean you have to interpret. If you want to know what God is doing, for the Spirit intercedes for us, we don't know what we should pray for, so the Spirit intercedes for us on our behalf. He said, if you want to know what the Holy Ghost in you is saying, then ask God to give you the interpretation for yourself, not for anybody else. Go to the next verse. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. When I'm praying in tongues, my spirit prays. But my understanding, my carnal understanding, is not fruitful. Now, go all the way to verse 26 so I can hurry up. I already lost somebody earlier. How is it then, brethren, when you all come together? Every one of you hath a psalm. Everyone hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Pause. So Paul said, how come every time we get together, Troy comes up and he says, the Lord gave me a word, I got to share with the church. And Chantal comes up and says, I got to sing a song the Lord gave me today, Pastor. And someone else comes up and says, hey, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. Is it okay if I share that? And he said, how come every time y'all get together, everybody's got something from the Lord? I'm telling you, it's a charismatic church. I'm telling you. Not that they're bad. They're not bad. They're just very immature spiritually. God would mature us spiritually. Go to the next verse. If any man speaketh in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or the most by three, by course, let one interpret. Pause. Let me give that to you in layman's terms. If someone is speaking in tongues and there are two or three people around, he said, if there is a message for the church, if the church is to be edified, he said, let them interpret it, meaning God will give them an interpretation. That's why in the next verse he says, but if there be no interpreter, again, I know some of you all heard this 1,000 times, that doesn't mean if Annette from the School of Tongues and Interpretation missed church today, if nobody interprets that, let him keep silence, pause, in the church. Silence is a relevant term. Everybody has an opinion of what quiet is. He doesn't tell them to stop. This is the biggest, grossest misconception in the church. You got to stop if there's no interpretation. Bull. That's not biblical. And he says, let him speak silent. Let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. He didn't say stop. He didn't say shut up. Because what they were doing is they're speaking in tongues and they're waiting for somebody else to interpret what they're saying. He's saying, this is you. That's why he opens up the book by, and he says, when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. But when he prophesies, he edifies the church. He's trying to clear this up with people. I got people still today. They're saying, you're not supposed to speak in tongues, church, let's interpret. You're not supposed to speak in tongues, church, let's interpret. I've had people tell me that. Show me where that's at in the Bible. I can't do it right now, but I know it's there. No, if you can't do it, you need to shut up. You need to shut up. You better back. Hey, I'm backing up my business. You better back up what you got. I'm serious now. You can disagree with me. That's fine. Give me scripture because that's all I'm giving you here. That's it. Now, let's go. Are there any questions on that? Or any comments? Am I unclear? I'm trying to give you a lot of meat here real quick. It's like stuffing yourself. Go back to the water baptism issue. Now, I've already showed you that in all of those scriptures in Acts, every one of them were filled with the Spirit and every one of them were water baptized. Even to the point where Peter commanded them to be baptized, referring to Cornelius and his family. He didn't say, and I dramatize this a little bit to make it really clear for us. He didn't say, well, you know, if you want to, it's really up to you. It doesn't really matter. It's just an outward expression of your faith. Who in God's name ever started teaching that nonsense? He commanded them, not meaning I'm going to drag you to the water. No, he said, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. And they said, oh, okay. Because there was a time when people actually listened. And they didn't want to argue everything. But that did end quickly. So now, you got to look at a couple scriptures with me. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 2, I think. Give me a second. I'm going to find it for you. While I'm looking for that, go to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I'm going to show you water baptism real quick. Listen, let me pause, all right? Do me a favor. I want everybody to do one thing. Please, everybody do one thing for me. I'm being serious. Do this. Would y'all do that real quick? Just breathe. Listen, you can leave here and you can say, I disagree with you. That's fine. Then love me. Love me. Let's keep worshiping God together. It shouldn't rub you the wrong way. If you tell me I believe that you're supposed to wear polka dots to church every Sunday, I can show you scripture passages. I'm not going to get offended at you and leave church. Come on, man. You know why we leave? Because we can't defend our positions. That's why. I'm just being honest. Don't be thinking about everybody that's not filled with the Holy. Don't be thinking about that stuff. Start witnessing. Start teaching them. Take this word to them. It's pretty clear, I think. So, you in Acts 4:12? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, not titles, but name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Now, none of us dispute that until it comes to water baptism. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to hell, okay? But I am telling you the correct way, the biblical way of water baptizing is in the name of Jesus Christ, not the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Do you know what's funny about that, though? Is I know we'll spend our whole life defending titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost, And nowhere in the Bible were they ever baptized in titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost. There is only one phrase in the New Testament. You go ahead and prove me wrong. My phone is always on. I just won't answer it after 9:30. But leave me a voicemail. I'll call you back tomorrow. There's only one time in the entire New Testament, I've looked this up myself, that Father, Son, Holy Ghost is used. And yes, it is Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus was teaching them how to be baptized. Because Jesus, the Bible said, he made himself lower than the angels of heaven. We have authority over angels. So that means he made himself really low. So he taught with a spirit of humility when he said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Good God, have mercy. It's not rocket science. What is the name? Belching out those titles is not a name. That's why all the apostles, I just read it to you, they all baptized in the name because they knew what Jesus was teaching. That's why nobody ever baptized using those titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, look at this one here. I got so much going through my head, it's spinning. Just give me a second. I know it's 1 Peter 2 or 3. I just can't remember exactly which verse. Okay, I'll get it right now. I'm almost done. You've been patient. Thank you. 1 Peter 3:21. Turn there. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure, the example, wherefore even baptism doth, D-O-T-H, means it does, now also save us. And he says, I'm not talking about putting away the filth of the flesh. I'm not talking about the process. He said it's the answer of a good conscience towards God. He said when you answer, when you respond, and you head to that baptismal tank, he said that is what brings you salvation. Not exclusively, because the plan of salvation is not one thing, but that is a big part of it. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. Honey, can you come play with me? Play for me. I told you I got too much to go. Can you bring the trucks over here and can we play? Now, I'm going to tell you a story. This is a story about a couple. The couple still attends this church. Some of you have never heard this story, so I'm going to tell it to you. It was 2010. We had what we called a Holy Ghost Summit, and we wanted to pray for people to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so at the end of the first service, a man in the church stood right back there about where Brother Myron is. Actually, that was the doors were there before, so he was a little farther up about where Crystal was. And I looked back. Service, the altar call was winding down. I looked back and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said this, if he'll get rebaptized, I'll fill him with the Holy Ghost. The man had prayed for the Holy Ghost, been in church his whole life. He told me one day with tears streaming down his face, and I'm being honest. He said, I just want to know nobody's ever taught me. I mean, sobbing, tears rolling down his face. So we begin to pray. He was praying. And then when most people that have never been taught, when God doesn't fill them, and it's because there's normally a barrier, there's a wall of doubt that is prohibiting God from doing it. What happens is they begin to withdraw. Well, he was there. He started backing up emotion. He wasn't coming to the altar anymore, blah, blah, blah. So now I was really timid then. I know you have a hard time believing, but I was. And God said, if he'll get rebaptized, I'll fill him with the Holy Ghost. And I said, I said, well, God, if I got to talk to him, he's going to fly right out of this church. I said, if I got to talk to him about this, you got to help me. That's exactly what I said to God. The Lord can strike my last breath from my body if I'm lying any bit of this message to you. I forgot about it. The next day, the evangelist and I were out in Niles. And he wanted to go. I don't know where we went. There's nothing up here. So we're driving back. And I'm getting ready to get on Route 11. And I felt really, really frustrated in my spirit. I mean, frustrated. I'm like, man, I don't want to drive in Route 11. Oh, this is a bug. I said, do you mind if I take side roads back? I said, I'll take 46 back. He said, I don't care. Do whatever you want. So we get off, and I'm talking. And I'm talking because I do that. And I'm talking. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh. He says, what? I said, I turned the wrong way. So we go down to 193. And I said, I'll show you where my youth pastor lives. He kind of liked him. And then on the road back, I said, hey, do you mind if we stop and see this couple? He said, I don't care. We pulled in the driveway. We go in the house, hi. In 5 minutes, not me, not the evangelist. In 5 minutes, the topic of water baptism came up. Now, I told you I was timid then. I'm going to show you how God works. Now, I'm telling you, if you open up your heart, this is God through. It gives me chills to this day, and I got the video still. So we start, I wasn't even involved in the conversation. It was the evangelist and the couple. It starts to get a little heated. Now, my son was only a couple years old. He was with us, and I left him sleeping in the backseat of the car. Well, I hear him from inside the house screaming because he woke up. That was you, Cole. I still cry. I left my little boy in the backseat screaming for me. So I go out to get him, and he messed himself. You're only a toddler. It's okay. He was so upset, he messed himself, and I felt terrible. So I come through the door of the kitchen to get some paper towels, and I'm telling you, the man's standing up, his face is beat red, and he's yelling. And I'm like, that's it, they're gone, they're never coming back again. I did. I said, I just got to get some paper towels. I grab some paper towels, I walk back out the door. I try to clean up the best I can. I walk back inside, now everybody's crying. I kid you not, they're all bawling. And I'm like, oh my God, this is too bipolar for me. And the evangelist looks at me and he says, they're both getting rebaptized tonight. I said, both of them? He said, yep. So now, a little bold. And now watch this. The Lord said to me, if he'll get rebaptized, I'll fill him with the Holy Ghost. Now remember, Pat, fill him with the Holy Ghost. So we know he wasn't filled. And I said, God, you got to help me. We went out there. God frustrated my spirit to get me off the highway. I talked until I went the wrong way, but it was God's right way, and I wound up at the right house. In 5 minutes, water baptism came up, not by me. And after a little bit of a conversation and debate, they both decided to get rebaptized. That night, we have service again. Holy Ghost moves. I look over, and there they are, and the Lord says, if he'll keep his promise, I'll keep mine. Brother Brett, I didn't even dawn on me till years later. His promise is the Holy Ghost. Go and wait for the promise of the Father. I'm thinking God's talking about his word that he'll fill him. No, the promise is the Holy Ghost. So I'm a little bold. Now I walk over. They're standing right there. I walk over. I'm like, this is what the Lord said. I'm like, you still getting baptized? Yep. So we get up in the baptismal tank. He was the first one or second one. I don't remember which one. He gets in there. Here come back that old fear again. So I told the evangelist, I said, I'm going to give you the honor of baptizing him. Because to me, when he come out of the baptismal tank, he'd be speaking in tongues. Now, I didn't have that boldness in. So the evangelist prays. The man comes out of the water, 63 years old. And in about 20 seconds, I got the video, if you ever want to see it privately. He's crying, sobbing, speaking in tongues. I mean, throwing water. I mean, for 5 minutes, just sobbing in tongues and throwing water all over his face. Everybody went crazy, man. We went nuts. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did God speak to me about that man? If it doesn't matter, why did God instruct him to be rebaptized? Now, I'll tell you this. You can be baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He'll still fill you with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because most people that have been baptized in the titles, they don't do so out of rebellion. They do so because that's what they were taught. Their heart is still sincere. I'll tell you why he wasn't filled. Because he rejected the name. He told me. He felt I put too much emphasis on the name of Jesus. The moment he became obedient to the Lord, God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he spoke in tongues for the first time in his life, being in church his whole life. Some of y'all have seen the video. Testify if I'm lying. So, Peter said, the like figure whereunto baptism doth not also save us. He says, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Now watch this one. I got two more and I'm done. You've been greatly patient. If you want the notes, I'll give them all to you. I need a second. No, I cannot just remember where everything's at. I'll give you two. First, Romans 6 and 4. Actually, go to verse 6 and 1. You know, I love that people will, and I'm not against it, but I don't understand, why does everybody jump to John 3:16 and everybody overlooks John 3, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Last I checked, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 comes before 16. Is 16 irrelevant? Absolutely not. 16 is a general statement. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever shall believe on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But believe, we just established to you twice. Faith alone, the devils believe and tremble, the Bible says. He didn't say if you only have faith. He's saying you've got to believe. Oh, I got to show you one more scripture, but hang on. So watch. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So you can't preach grace and tell people you can still sin. That's an abomination. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? We're baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. We are buried with Him by baptism. When you are baptized, number one, 1 Peter chapter 3, what you are doing is your conscience is responding to the Lord. Number two, when you're baptized, it is symbolic of being buried like Christ was buried in the tomb. We're buried with Him in baptism. Now look at Colossians 2:12. Buried with Him in baptism. Wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith and operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And then Peter said, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. So water baptism is my conscience responding to God. I identify with Christ's death, and the only way I can identify with His death is through water baptism. And then Peter said, when you do that, your sins are remiss. Again, for those who have never heard this, what does that mean? That means that Calvary, what happened was Jesus paid the penalty for your sins. I got too much scripture going through my head. Hang on. He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities, and by the chastisement of our peace, by His stripes we are healed. You got the point. His suffering dealt with the penalty. If Sister Sandy, God forbid she ever would, went out and robbed a bank tonight, and she went to jail, what's going to happen? She's going to go to court. And then they're going to find her guilty. They're going to say, that old lady act doesn't work with us, lady. You're going to prison for 25 years. She goes to prison for 25 years. I say, judge, can you have mercy on her? Just give her one day. He says, okay, I'll give her one day. She's an older lady. We want to let her enjoy the rest of her life. She gets out of prison. What happened? She paid for her sin with her prison time. But guess what? She still has a record. The record will always be there. Jesus paid for the price. He paid the price of our sin at Calvary. But the record's still there. That's dealt with at water baptism. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right, I said that was the last one, but go to John chapter 7, verse 37 real quick. And I have another scripture that just came to my mind, and I forgot it. Would you do me a favor? Would you go home and really kind of digest this if you need to? Please do. You don't have to just take my word, but just please digest it and pray about it. I have spent years praying on this. I really have. I didn't just throw this together. John 7 and 36. Go back to verse 33. I'm sorry. I knew that didn't look right. That don't look right either. Hang on a second. It's right there somewhere. Hold on. I'll get it. It's right there. Verse 37. Did I tell you 37 already? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me. Now watch this. You got to catch this. The Bible tells us what will happen to a true believer. Now, does that mean if God hasn't filled me with the Holy Spirit, I'm not a true believer? No. It means it hasn't happened yet. But someone hasn't taught you correctly. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Watch this next verse. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Samaritan believers were baptized, and then John prayed for them to be, or Peter prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Gentiles were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then Peter commanded them to be baptized. And the disciples of John were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were baptized. In every case, there was a physical manifestation of God's Spirit. It's exactly what Simon saw when he offered money. It's exactly what Isaiah prophesied about in chapter verse. That's an abomination. Isaiah 28, I always forget verse 11. It all flows together to what Jesus taught in John chapter 3, verse 3. Now, are there any questions or comments? Please, I only want to edify you. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to challenge you. If you refuse to believe any of this, that's fine. I'll feel it'll grieve my spirit, but I'll still love you. No comments or questions. Was it too complicated? Was it? Go ahead, Sister Pat. Thank you. Run a microphone to her, please. Jerome's doing double duty.
You've asked a couple of times why other churches don't concentrate at all or totally ignore the Holy Spirit.
Can I ask, in your opinion, in your past with other churches, have you found that to be true?
Absolutely. Okay. And since birth, I went to the Methodist church until I was 23 and got married. Then I went to the Baptist church until I was like 60. And then I went to the Nazarene for a few years, and then when they wouldn't open because of COVID, Patrick Martin told me this church was open, and I have never looked back a single. I feel like this is the first time I've ever been in church. It was the first service I ever came here. But my experience in all those other churches has been that people sit there stoically like a bump on a log. They hear. To be honest, I'm not sure how to describe it. It mostly wasn't biblical. It was maybe one scripture passage with a lot of anecdotal things from a pastor's personal life that had nothing to do with the scripture that was read, if there even was scripture read. And so I think the Holy Spirit was really never brought up. And I feel like my issue with not speaking in tongues is that there must be a blockade because I sat stoically. Nobody moves in these churches. Nobody smiles. Nobody raises their hands and really worships the Lord.
All right, can I hold you for 1 second? Watch this. Give me a chair real quick. Just watch this. Now, I wish I had a camera to point back to you. I want to make a point. And I know that some of us got kids. Just watch this, though. How many of you smile when I smile? Yeah. The atmosphere has to be right. Exactly. Atmosphere is contagious. Mm-hmm. If you're in a church that don't teach it, that they don't preach it, whether they might not know themselves, you'll never have the... Oh, and I forgot to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 at the end of the chapter, a couple verses from the end. I forgot to read. The Bible says, forbid not any to speak with tongues. That's what it says. Because Paul knew exactly what he was up against. So my point is, Don't focus on tongues. Don't focus on that, please. Just come to an understanding in your own mind that the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost is speaking with other tongues. When you come to that understanding, you just pray and until God does it, and He will, because the atmosphere is right. But go ahead.
Well, I hope so, because my spirit is grieved.
Don't be.
I don't speak in tongues.
No, don't be. No,
and,
no.
And I've been afraid that you would kick me out of this church because I don't can speak in tongues.
No. God, no.
That's all I have to say.
No. Pat, let me tell you something. If this is any consolation, that would never. Not only do I love you personally, and I thank God for you being here, I miss you when you were in Florida. And I kept asking Jasmine, when's Pat come back? When's Pat come back? When's Pat come back? That's the truth. Ask her, am I lying, Jasmine? No, that would never happen. And I don't think anybody should be afraid because they don't speak in tongues. I don't believe that. No, I just think, go ahead, David, because I don't know what happened there. Go ahead, because I know you got a testimony too. Give him the microphone, please. I know we're a little long, but is this okay? You got to go? Just go ahead and go. But go ahead.
In case this helps anybody at all, I was raised into like a Baptist, a non-denominational church all the way until I came here, which was almost 10 years ago. I never heard once about really being, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I was taught on baptism on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it was completely upside down when I came here. And I felt in the same sense, I felt something was wrong because I couldn't get the Holy Ghost. I couldn't speak in tongues. You know how long it took me? It took me over 2 years coming here faithfully before it happened. You know why? Because a lot of things had to be undone
right
within me.
It's true.
In order to do so. A lot of brokenness, a lot of heartache. And it also, and I'm telling you, and I promise you this, it also came into trusting this man. What he says is coming from God, is coming from the Bible.
Pause one second. Is there anybody in this room does not feel the calming of the Holy Ghost in this place? It's calm. It's rich because when you preach it, it stirs the spirit. That's why the Bible says, quench not the spirit. I know some of y'all are tired. You've had long days. I understand that. But go ahead and finish.
And I'm telling you, if you guys trust him and you take it and allow God to work through you and that you allow yourself to be open to God, and that requires being vulnerable and being open about that, it will happen. And it took me 2 years because of my own stubbornness, to my own lack of understanding, but it also took me in a sense because I was hurt in my past to trust him. And the moment I started doing that, I'm telling you, all kinds of just wonderful things happen. And I have not felt anything like that in my life.
Thanks.
To the point where I never want to even think about leaving this place. Because even if I miss for whatever reason, I feel like there's something wrong. Because this, to me, is the safest and most beautiful place that I've ever been to.
Listen. Oh, Hector, okay. Take it over. Just give me 1 second while you're walking over to him. In 2 weeks, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, we have an evangelist coming. His name is Felix Crowder. I know his gifting is helping pray people through the Holy Ghost. I want you all to pray with me. I want you to pray with me that during that service, God will fill anybody that wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost for the first time with the evidence of speaking of their tongues. He'll do it. And I can tell you this much right now. I feel like God's going to do it. Pat and David, you said it so well. So many things had to be undone. You see, that's why I wanted to teach this tonight, because confusion. Satan robs people because of confusion. And unless we deal with it and teach it, you never get rid of the confusion. And Satan loves when confusion just can just run rampant. Go ahead, Hector.
Well, Pastor, I thank you for teaching this. Powerful. I just remember the first time I got the Holy Ghost. I know some of you remember I was in the old building. It's like I started speaking tongues. Didn't know what I was doing. But God knew though. And Pastor, you're right. The Holy Ghost is coming. You feel that love, that peace, that joy. You feel it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Listen, we should not, and we're going to stop it here. You can catch me, you need to catch me privately unless something's really burning, but I don't want anybody to leave here and think because you may have never spoken in tongues that I look at you as less of a Christian, as less of something. No, that's why I love the story of Cornelius. He was a God-fearing, praying man. But thank God he had an apostle who loved them enough and loved the Word of God enough to take it to him and say, listen, God loves you and God wants to do this still for you also. And I want people to experience all that God has for them. And I'll tell you this, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, I will tell you this, the day God does it, I will promise you, you will say, I've never in my life felt anything like that before. I promise you, you will. I promise you. Just prove me wrong. But I would like us if we could stand just real quick and pray together real quick. I'm sorry, I know we went really long, but there's a lot of stuff here to cover. There's a lot I couldn't even cover. But would you pray with me that God would just help lift the cloud of doubt and confusion and that God will make it clear in our minds? If you'll pray that for yourself, if you need that, He will. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that You would settle into this place. So we know it's late, Father, but You're not bound by time. God, if we'll give You a few more minutes, I believe that You want to move in this place. And I believe You laid this on my heart to teach because when that evangelist comes in, he's going to preach faith into this place in 2 weeks from now. And You're going to fill people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost that have never been filled. You're going to refill people with the Holy Ghost. I feel it in my spirit. And God, I just pray that the spirit of doubt and confusion would be lifted and that You would let perfect clarity, God, and peace settle in from this moment on. In the precious name of Jesus, let's worship the Lord together as long as you've got time to be here.
You give life, You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to You only. You give life, You are love, You bring light to the darkness. You give hope, You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy. The name of Jesus, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Oh, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, you holy. Oh, great are you, Lord. Oh, great are you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, great are you, Lord. Yes, you are. Great are you, Lord. Oh, great are you, Jesus. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Oh, it's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Let's just lift up our voices and praise right now. Would you do that? I feel like the Lord is still in this place, and if you've got to go, that's okay. But let's lift up our voices and praise and give Him glory. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Lord, we need You to continue to move in this place, oh God. We need Your power and Your glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, would you raise your voices to heaven and give Him praise right now, Jesus.